Okay, check, check, check. Okay, this looks good. Okay, welcome to a special edition solo version of the Spooky Park Bench podcast. I am Christopher Sturm, a photographer currently residing in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, originally from the Bay Area in California. And this episode is not a fun one, but a very necessary one. There have been a lot of instances in the past couple years regarding the film community and the photo community at large when it comes to the involvement and representation of women by POC, women of color specifically, and queer and non-binary people. That conversation is ongoing, and there have been a lot of, I guess, instances and situations that have come to light over the years that have shed a lot of light on the systematic and institutional problems with that. And unfortunately, it kind of keeps happening. And one of the big problems that we have is a lack of true accountability for people who are perpetrating these things against women, against women of color, against people of color, against the queer community and non-binary community within the photography community, specifically also the film community, but, you know, the film community and photo community at large, not just film, but also any kind of photography, the filmmaking community, as in like features and movies and short films and indie films, stuff like that, commercials, anything that has to do with creating things on set or, you know, creating images, movies, whatever, that whole community, as with any other community, there are a lot of through lines with a lot of other industries and communities as far as women are concerned, but not just women, anyone who's not a white male. And unfortunately, my girlfriend and our friends were personally affected by this phenomenon, something that happened recently. There was an article written about it by the group chat that I'm a part of. When I moved to Wisconsin, I became a part of a group chat of local Milwaukee and Wisconsin area photographers who are like-minded, who like to shoot film, get together. We have photo walks. We exchange film, exchange ideas, collaborate on projects. And it's a mix of people, you know, white, non-white, bi POC, women of color, you know, all sorts of people in this group chat. And we all became fast friends. And two of the people in our film, our chat, our community, our little group, one of them being my girlfriend, Jackie, Sour Cream US on Instagram, and another member who I won't name, were basically targeted by another member of the community, a man. His name is Victor Matthews. He had two Instagram accounts, one of which is now been curated down from about 7,000, a little over 7,000 followers, been curated down to just about over 600 and gone private. And then another account, Termites in the Bathtub, that account has gone dark. I'm assuming it was just deleted. Victor Matthews is a photographer, and I have my notes here on the side. He's a photographer from the St. Louis, Missouri area. Let's see if I can pull up his info here. I want to make sure we have it. So his full name is Victor Matthews. He lives currently in St. Louis, Missouri. He attended the St. Louis Community College in 2020. He attends another college. I wanted to make sure it's not wrong here because I think it was wrong in the article. So the original article I co-authored, we'll get to that in a moment, but I just want to talk about Victor for a second here. But let's see. University of Missouri, St. Louis. That's what the college he's currently enrolled. He is in the registry as a senior. We don't know his age. I think he's around 21. He grew up in Los Angeles, apparently. So he's from California. Yeah, so that's who he is. He had around, like I said, almost 8,000 of just above 7,000 followers on Instagram. He shot film. He was following and was mutual friends with actually a fair amount of people that are on my friends list. So people know who he is, at least through film or know him personally. But I've never met him. I didn't know him. I didn't follow his account. I wasn't aware of him until this came out. Some individuals in our group were made aware of a Twitter account that was made as kind of a dedication to one of the members in our group. And a dedication, I mean, basically it was posted. The name of the Twitter account was this person's full name, the person in our chat. It was her full name, which her last name was not made public prior to this. It was her face. A picture of her was the profile photo as well as the banner image on the Twitter account. And then the photos that were posted to this account were photos that were only posted to her private Instagram account that was private for friends only. So we determined that somebody who was friends with her on her private account was leaking these images. Which in and of itself is not necessarily, it's not good to do that. You shouldn't take private images from a private account and post them publicly. But I think if that were the case, it would be an annoyance rather than really alarming, as it turned out to be. Because with each post that was made, the person who owned the fake account was posting really gross, really vile, sexualized captions about our friend on each post, which, don't care who you are, if you saw something like that about you on the internet, you would be grossed out. It was super disrespectful, super gross. I'm actually going to read a couple of them because the article that I had referenced that I co-authored, the people that ended up editing and putting out the article, you can read it. I'll leave a link in the description. They took out a bunch of stuff that was really pertinent. A lot of stuff that was evidence that proves what he did and why we are pursuing accountability for it. And it also leaves out some of my girlfriend's experience as a woman of color who was targeted. And I'll get to that as well. So some of these screenshots here of something he has posted on these images. One of them, it has her name and it says, "Has the perfect face for you to come on," which is gross. Unsolicited sexualization on the internet is fucking disgusting. So that's gross. Another one posted on the same day. This is blank, her name. "She has a tight little ass that's great to fuck, and she's the best at sucking cock in all of Wisconsin," which, not only would this person not know, it's just a fucking gross thing to say about somebody online. Not only that, the ramifications are worse because this is apparently someone who this person is friends with. And so not only is someone saying completely disgusting shit about you online, the person who's saying it is apparently somebody you know, who is at least someone you know enough to allow them onto your private Instagram where you post private photos. I also have to mention that these photos that she posts on her account, they aren't nudes. It's not pornographic. Some of them she's in bikinis or maybe in some sort of like lingerie, but it's not like evocative in the way that you'd think would like work with like captions like this. Like, it's very out of place to take those photos and put these captions on them in a vacuum. Because the photos themselves are not very, they're not sexualized. I've seen the photos. They're very like, they're just kind of her. In the same way that women will go and take self-portraits of themselves in various, you know, outfits or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. because they're obviously not to be sexualized. They're not there for the male gaze. They're there because it's an empowering thing to do. It's an empowering thing for this person. So it's not, it's not that it matters that it was naked or not. It doesn't make sense. It's just so, it's bananas. It doesn't even make sense. So those are a couple of the examples of the things that he said on those photos. Fucking gross. And we had, well, this person, the woman whose account was being, that the account was made for, had a assumption of who it might be based on, you know, when they were posted, who was on her friends list, who she, you know, she just had some idea of what it could possibly be. So my girlfriend told her, hey, why don't you set a trap? Put him in your close friend's story, and have no one else in the story. So the only person who could possibly see an image that you'd post would be him. See if he sees your story, takes those photos, and posts them on the Twitter page. If he does that, that's proof positive that the person you think it is the person who's behind this. So she sets the trap. She adds the close friends list, only puts Victor Matthews, the only reason I feel secure, only allows that account to see that close friends list. And she posts three photos that she's only posted in this story. So no one else has seen these. No one else has access to these. So the only reason I feel secure, there's a screenshot right here. It shows that he viewed the image. Or he viewed the story. I don't know how long after he viewed the story that this happened. I think it was around 10 minutes or so after he views her private story. The three images from her private story are posted to the Twitter account, which proves that Victor Matthews, the owner of The Only Reason I Feel Secure and Termites in the Bathtub, took the photos from her private account, posted them on this disgusting page, and wrote captions to it. The caption on this one was "More of Blank's sweet ass." We got him. Basically, we were able to prove that this is the person who was doing this. We also were able to prove he was the account owner of another account called Nothing But Skin. This is another Twitter account that posted more images of our friend, but also posted images of my girlfriend, but chiefly posted images of porn, just literally professionally made porn from the internet, actually content from OnlyFans accounts. He was apparently subscribed to several OnlyFans accounts and was pulling content from those accounts and posted them on the Twitter account as well, which we all know is a breach of the terms of service for OnlyFans and is actually a crime, I believe. I think that there is legislation that deals with that. So I'm not entirely sure, but that account also featured images from the Instagram and Snapchat accounts of women that he went to school with. And we were able to confirm that he followed on Instagram. And also there is an article here. We have a screenshot of from his school from March 12th, 2020, where he's actually in a first aid course, learning about first aid with one of the women he posted on the Twitter account. It was verified. They know each other. It's verified that he followed her, which means that not only was he victimizing a person who he knew through the internet and people he didn't know, but he was victimizing people in his life, people that he had personal in-person relationships with. He posted actually images of these women in order for you to be able to identify them with their Instagram account handles and their full names, as well as their Snapchat names. So he doxes all these women and sexualizes them on this porn Twitter account. And then he has another account dedicated to one person, our friend from our group chat, who he sexualizes and steals content from her private Instagram account. So we verified all this. We have all this information. We have all of these screenshots. We have all this evidence. One of the things that I thought was really important to point out and really central to this was not only was he sexualizing women who did not give consent for this and was stealing content, but he when he posted photos of my girlfriend's Asian, he puts the caption "naked Asian bitch," which is racist. It's just fucking racist. So this shows a pattern of disgusting behavior that he's okay with. We also discovered some of these photos from this person's private Instagram account on Reddit in a subreddit called IRL Girls. And it is a subreddit for sharing photos of attractive girls you know in real life. So that gives you an idea of the level of depravity this man is capable of. That Reddit account was user in the Lion's Mouth 44, which has since been deleted because, of course, it is. But because he's a moron and doesn't know how to properly scrub Reddit, he left all the photos, all the posts up, but just deleted his account. So the posts are still there, just his account's deleted, which doesn't help at all. Another thing, another reason we were able to tie all this to him other than the trap was he recently was in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, if you have Verizon as your cell phone carrier, Verizon's partner overseas is Globe. And in some of the screen recordings from OnlyFans, from Instagram, from other accounts, feature in the screen recording, it shows at the top the phone carrier Globe. So that coupled with the fact that when I messaged his account from a private anonymous account telling him that we know what he did, and that we know he was in the Philippines with a cell phone, he says that he uses Verizon. So, I think he was trying to say that that was the reason why it wasn't him, but he failed to recognize that Globe is the global carrier that Verizon uses to supply service to people overseas. Thus, again, proving that this was him. The misstep that was made here initially was when we found out this information, one of the people in our group chat reached out to him demanding he take down the Twitter page. What we should have done was compiled all this information into an article first and had it come out, basically naming him and naming his accounts so that people could see publicly what he had done. But because there was about a week between someone basically reaching out to him and the article being posted, he was able to scrub his Instagram followers and place his account private. He was able to delete both of the Twitter accounts, and he was able to kind of hide, which is unfortunate. But the point I'm trying to make here with this this podcast episode is that there needs to be accountability for this kind of behavior in the photo community. And someone has to be willing to stand up and say that this is wrong and these people need to be held accountable. One of the things that really bothered me was someone in the group chat that I was in, who was not actually a part of this situation, but was kind of like a secondhand, I don't know, kind of like observer of what was going on. They said they weren't comfortable with having Victor's information out on the internet publicly. And that rubbed me the wrong way. Not only that, not only because it reduces the accountability we have, the leverage of accountability we can leverage on him, but it doesn't make sense because this is information that we readily were able to get just by Google searching his name, his Instagram accounts, anything associated with him. This is all stuff that's all online for anyone to see. His school actually has his information online. Not only that, the government runs a website that everyone's, I'm sure, aware of. It's a sex offender registry. In the sex offender registry, you can search your area and you can find the names, age, birth town, current address, and a whole slew of other information, the charges and convictions of registered sex offenders, anytime you want. That information is readily accessible to literally anyone who goes on that website, as it should be. And I just think that it's slightly hypocritical and a little bit weird to be not okay with basically calling out someone who is, you know, sexually assaulting women in our community and not be okay with that accountability being readily available. So this is part of the reason why I decided to do this podcast, because I wanted the accountability to be very clear, and I wanted something to happen. I'm really unhappy with the way the article was edited. When I finished co-authoring the original draft of this article with my girlfriend and in small part another member of the group chat, I was happy with where we came. It was very clear and concise. It had his information. It had his photo at the top of the article. It was very clear and concise. All the evidence was there. Very easy to read. Very easy to see. Nothing was left out. But the article as it stands now leaves things out. It centers the experience of one person, which I think is wrong, because this experience was shared by several women, but is also shared in large part by the entire community, because this affects everyone. This affects the safety of everyone in our community. That's kind of where we're at. And I actually wanted to read, we had a paragraph basically at the end of the original draft that I want to read really quick, because I think it was a very clear point that we were trying to make with this accountability article. Like, it kind of gives you the summary of why we're doing this, and I just want to read it really quick. There's been an ongoing conversation about the safety of women in the photography community. Male photographers have historically created a hostile environment for members of the community. In recent years, there's been a reckoning on social media targeted at exposing and ostracizing male photographers who exhibit predatory behavior in an effort to provide more safety for women, non-binary, and queer photographers in that community. Victor's behavior is an example of this predatory pattern that targets women and vulnerable members of our community. Social engineering and manipulation tactics are employed to gather information, garner trust, and take advantage. It is imperative that these instances are called out publicly to achieve awareness in the community and to make this predatory behavior too risky for men to attempt in the future. That's an important point. The purpose of this document is not to cause harm to the perpetrators of these actions, but to force accountability and prevent future instances of victimization. In addition, there is a need for safeguards against retaliation, victim blaming, and re-victimization. So the point we're trying to make here, I want to shame and frighten this guy out of our community. I want him to feel sick looking at a camera, because I want him to think about what he's done and what harm he's done to the community every time he thinks about taking a photograph. And that is something that has to happen, or else people will just feel emboldened to continue to do this, because what accountability is there? What consequences are there for this kind of behavior? So my goal, like we say, it's not to cause harm. We don't want him physically harmed because of this. What we want him is to become persona non grata. We want him not welcome in this community, and not welcome in any spaces that this community is involved in, because he has proven himself to be a predator, proven himself to be someone who is unsafe to be around and unsafe to have around women of color, people who are queer, people who identify as non-binary in this community. And I think that there is a real necessity for a consensus on what to do as far as accountability in this space going forward, because we don't really have, we have, like, you know, we call people out on social media. We make posts. We kind of blacklist people in various ways. But too often there are options and available and availabilities for these people to kind of like make their way back in the community. I do believe people can change. I believe people can see the wrongs of their past and make a change and become someone who can be a part of a community. But I think that this is not the time or place to kind of like argue that. I think right now the safest thing to do is to get these people out of the community and do not allow them access, because they're dangerous, but we have to do better. And the men in this community need to do better when it comes to coming to the defense of the women, non-binary and queer people in this community, because there's a lot of bystander syndrome where we stop, we look, we see what's going on, and we keep moving. We don't do anything about it. And this is my attempt as a man in this community who has a platform, as small as it may be, to actually do something. I hope that this podcast gets shared. I hope that people listen to it. I hope that people can see the evidence, see the issue, see the problem I'm talking about, and recognize that this is a real problem that persists, that no matter how many times on social media we talk about unity, we talk about representation, and we talk about, you know, equity and equality for women in the photography world, that all ends up just being talk until someone actually does something. Because if we have true equality, true equity, true representation in this community, then this kind of behavior, these things don't have the space to happen. Like if we have true accountability for this kind of behavior, like I say in this paragraph, this behavior is too risky for people to attempt. So if there are even creepy people who are in the community, they don't have an opportunity to be creepy, because the hammer is swift and it comes down on top of them, and there's no room to victimize anyone, because the community is too strong and we're too connected, and we need more of that. So as much as I would like to have a resource to basically have a database or a resource where all these people are kind of collected, I think the real thing is we need to have true unity and true representation for women and women of color, BIPOC and queer and non-binary people. Because if we have visibility, if we have representation, it's much harder to victimize people. Because how are you going to be able to do that if those people have the structures in place to support them? And we don't have those structures in place. There is a person, Danielle, a girl with too many cameras on Instagram. She constantly is championing for more representation for women in this space. And, you know, she's right. There is a problem with representation and with visibility with women, people of color, queer, and non-binary people. And because that there's no representation and there's no support, those people get victimized much more than anyone else. Men are for sure not getting victimized. We have nothing to worry about. So we need to be using our power. We need to be using our platforms. We need to be using, you know, our empathy to stop this shit from happening and to protect those people in the community who we claim to care about. We need to put our money where our mouth is and not just claim we care about it, but actually show we care about it by doing something about it. I think that's kind of it, you know. My main concern here was calling Victor out for his behavior and making it so that he is not welcome in this community anymore and that he knows it. And that we continue to have this conversation and actually do something about the support and representation for those most vulnerable people in our community, because this happens because we don't support those people. So I will link the article that came out in the show notes, and I will also be posting it on Instagram. You can look out for that. There will be some of the evidence that will be posted. I'm not going to post everything because I don't want some of the people that were involved to be upset that they were posted online without consent. So I'm going to be posting some of the evidence with, like, you know, some certain information redacted so that you can see with your own eyes the actual literal things that he wrote and the things that he actually did on the internet with your own eyes, so that you can make your own conclusions for it. And that will be posted to an Instagram account that I made for the purpose of protecting people and being basically a hub of at least some information. It's called at PCA Coalition on Instagram. So PCA Coalition. You can follow that account, and that account will have information, screenshots, and it will truly be a good place for accountability for at least this and maybe other things in the future. And hopefully it won't be around for long, because hopefully this will be an alarm bell for fucking creeps and dickheads who want to take advantage of people in the community who just want to create things and who just want to be themselves and just want to be free. Because this is the reason why women complain about representation. This is the reason why the most vulnerable people in our community are upset and make posts about not having equality and make posts about not having representations, because this is what happens and it needs to not happen. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being caring. Thank you for, supporting this podcast. That's pretty much it. So thanks again, guys. And I'll see you next episode of the Spooky Park Bench will be with Mike, of course. But this one was just a quick one I wanted to do myself. So thanks for listening. See you guys later.